You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 158 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I know you guys are. I appreciate it. And I wish I had more clown stories. Well, actually, I guess I do. Debate number three happened this week, and you probably saw it or heard the aftermath or something. Now, listen, if you were an undecided voter, the presidential debate number three isn't going to help you make that decision. There was really nothing new, except, of course, new trending tweets based on things that Donald Trump said. He threw out a line about lots of bad hombres coming over, lots of bad hombres coming over the border, which pretty much guaranteed that he'll lose any Latino vote. He might have had two or three Latino votes left. The bad hombres line got rid of those. Then he talked about no one has more respect for women than Donald Trump, at which point people laughed out loud. See, that can't be good when you're at a debate and you try to say something and the audience laughs out loud. And, of course, he showed how much respect he has for women by closing the debate with the remark calling Hillary a nasty woman. And Twitter took off on that, and a lot of women took off on that, telling how nasty women get things done. So good for you, ladies, for being nasty women. And my favorite, the funniest one to me, was when Hillary Clinton called Donald Trump a puppet of Vladimir Putin. And, of course, he came back, no puppet, you're a puppet. I'm not, no puppet. Those were basically his remarks. And I love Twitter. Brilliant people out there. So Antonio French, who is a teacher in, alderman in St. Louis, he said that Donald Trump sounded like a kid who had to give a book report but hadn't read the book. So he tweeted, Trump's foreign policy answers sound like a book report from a teenager who hasn't read the book. Oh, the grapes. They had so much grapes. They had so much wrath, which, of course, Twitter people just picked up on. So another one on the book Romeo and Juliet. Now, mind you, this is the hashtag Trump book report, okay? Book reports written by Donald Trump after not having read the book. Juliet, such a nasty woman. She made Romeo kill himself. And believe me, he could have done better. Look at her. Uncle Tom's Cabin. Worst cabin in the inner city. Terrible schools. Nasty women and bad hombres everywhere. Hilarious. Great. I love that when the internet, when Twitter picks up on it. Listen, no comment on the debate. It's the same thing. Hillary outlined policies that she wants to do. Donald Trump fought some attacks, said he's under attack by all the media outlets, alluded to him not accepting the election results, which to me just makes him the biggest of the undecided voters. He hasn't even decided he'll accept the results. And we move on. We've got about 17, 18 days left, and more of the same. The Al Smith dinner where they roasted each other, each got off a few good lines. Trump made it very awkward when he went into Hillary hating Catholics and stuff. Didn't really understand the spirit of the roast. But listen, neither one of them is going to be as funny as Barack Obama. So we're going to miss that. We're going to miss his White House correspondence dinners, Al Smith dinner, and anywhere else he gets to be funny. Now, that's my transition, because Barack Obama once again explained, and I have a real problem with this. The people who think that, you know, the government should operate like a business. So we need a businessman to run the government. The government is not a business. And Barack Obama explained it again. At Carnegie Mellon University, he talked about, and talking to Silicon Valley executives, et cetera, about why the government will never run like a business. Okay, the quote from Barack Obama: government will never run the way Silicon Valley runs because, by definition, democracy is messy. This is a big, diverse country with a lot of interest and a lot of disparate points of view, And part of government's job, by the way, is dealing with problems that nobody else wants to deal with. See, that's it exactly. When you run a private company, you choose what to do, and you choose to do things that are profitable. For example, what private company would build interstate highways? There's no tolls. There's no profit in building highways. They get worn out by everyone. You have to keep fixing them, which I wish we would do more often, more infrastructure budget, etc. But the point being, nobody would do that privately without being able to charge for their use. Now, who profits from interstate highways? Everyone. Every business just about ships something, buys something, has something that travels. So, and that's just one example of the type of things they do. Healthcare. Healthcare for poor people. Healthcare for old people. Healthcare for veterans returning from war. There's no profit in that. The government loses money doing that, yet has to provide that service. Well, some say they don't have to provide that service, but on a humanitarian front, they have to provide that service. You think people could do it more profitably, but they can't, or else they would. Nothing's stopping them. There are so many things like that. Defense is a big one. Even the internet, and this is very interesting. Now, there's tons of profit on the internet, but would any company or would private companies get together and develop the internet knowing they would have no control over it and anyone could use it to make a profit, but they couldn't profit off of it? In other words, the government, which helped develop the internet. Well, we know Al Gore built the internet. But outside of that, the Pentagon actually started this, and I want to get this right, so let me... And I know I'm not going to get this exactly right, and experts on it are going to rip into me and tell me how wrong I was, but I'm going to give you an example. Okay, so what he's saying here is, when a task is so large or complex that no private entity can detect potential profit in it, which was the case of the internet, that's when the government does. The internet began as a Pentagon effort to force its disparate computer science grantees to communicate with each other in a single language. In other words, the Pentagon was dealing with so many people in computer science, and, you know, there were different languages. This is back in the days when you had computer language and eight people understood computers. I'm kidding. It was more than that. But there was a lot. They said, we need some way for all of these companies to communicate. And they companies had proprietary hardware, et cetera, et cetera. So this is interesting. The nation's communications network was under the thumb of AT&T, a private monopoly that resisted opening its voice lines to data communications. So the government started a data network, building it around AT&T, which ultimately led to the internet. You see, the government had to do that. Now, I love bringing up AT&T in this because, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. The podcast is not supposed to be grim. It's supposed to be funny. But I threw in a joke. Al Gore created the internet. Anyway, sorry. So this is why the government is not a business. So we have to stop looking for a businessman to run the government. Because if they did, you might be on the wrong end of the profit equation and be cut out of any benefit. Now, moving on. We had an internet outage this week. Many people in the Northeast lost the internet for minutes, hours, whatever. Things operated slowly. It was a cyber attack, a huge cyber attack. And again, I'm not great at explaining this because I'm not an expert on these issues. But, you know, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, maybe not last night, but I have in the past. So I'm a genius. I can explain anything. There's a thing called Domain Name System Servers, DNS. And the DNS underpins all our web browsing, okay? And basically what happens, the DNS is like a phone book. So when you look up something, let's say Twitter, your search goes to the DNS. It goes through the phone books, through these directories, finds twitter.com, connects you, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there are companies which handle these DNSs. One particularly is called Dyn, D-Y-N, and they were hit with a denial of service attack. Basically, what that means is that hackers hit them with so many requests, so big and so fast that they couldn't handle it, and it shut it down. And why hackers would do this, I'm not sure. But they're hackers, so I don't know what motivates them. Sometimes it's just to say that they could do it. Anyway, DYN hosts about 250,000 of the DNS servers, the domain name servers. They get hit with so much traffic that it shut them down, and that was it. Extremely costly to defend against this, and not many companies do it. This is probably another defense that's going to end up in the hands of the government, because you can't have the internet just shut down. You can't have people able to shut it down. It gets into these huge amounts of data. Okay, the cyber service attack on DYN was over 1,000 gigabits per second. This is more than some governments. In other words, they can swamp servers with so much. They could literally shut down governments, because ultimately there's only so much traffic that can travel on the internet due to the physical size of the cables that carry this data, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. I'm just going to say that why do we have a government? Because of that. Because we need to protect against things like that. Another thing that I think the government should protect against, and they probably won't when you talk about private business. Okay, AT&T is buying Time Warner. AT&T already owns DirecTV. Now they're looking at buying Time Warner, which owns HBO, CNN, and a bunch of other media outlets and movies and this and that. Now, remember the whole thing with the banks too big to fail? So what happens when these communications, what happens when all our communications and information comes from one or two companies? You look at Comcast, big cable company, they bought NBC Universal. So now AT&T buys Time Warner. So now AT&T has your cell phone, it has your DirecTV, it'll soon have your cable TV, it'll control the networks, it'll control the news station. You see what I'm saying? You want deregulation? Well, now we have communication companies too big to fail. So what happens if, and I'm not a paranoia guy, but what happens if Time Warner says, nah, we don't want that information out there? How's it going to get out there? You see, this is the problem. This is why we do need government regulation, because companies shouldn't have that. AT&T should not control that much information. Can't be a good thing. Listen, we need to watch Rollerball, that movie, the original, with James Caan. Not the remake. Ugh, horrible remake. But when the world was divided up by corporations, that's who ran the world. And a lot of people say we're already there. And I can't argue with you if that's what you say. But is my response. Going back to clowns. I love the clowns. Just so you know, I haven't forgotten the clowns. Okay. My latest clown news. School district in New Jersey, West Milford, New Jersey school district, has banned clown costumes. There are no clowns running around in West Milford, New Jersey. We won't have it. I love the clowns. I don't know where the clowns are going to pop up next, but I'm loving the clowns. I personally am headed to Las Vegas to work at the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana all next week. I got to think there's going to be a bunch of clowns in Vegas in the week leading up to Halloween. Speaking of New Jersey, Petals the bear was shot by a bow hunter. Now, and this hunter seemed to have some kind of personal vendetta against Petals the bear. If you have not seen Petals the bear, you have to go to YouTube or just go on the internet while you still can, before you have to ask AT&T's permission. Go on the internet. How funny is that, that they built the internet to get around AT&T, and AT&T is about to buy the damn thing? Anyway, Petals the bear was a bear that, I guess, forepaw was injured, and he was walking around on two legs. And you got to see it on video. It's hilarious watching this bear walk around. New Jersey allowed a bow hunt for the first time in 40 years, and it seems some hunters killed Petals the bear. Now, that's just a damn shame. clowns running around, all right? Clowns running around scaring people, and you kill the bear. Why didn't you? How about a clown bow hunt? Just saying. There's only one Petals the Bear. There's plenty of clowns. In other news that just is news, I guess, Kim Kardashian is taking some much-needed time off. Why does this amuse me? Because my question is, time off from what? What does she do? Well, apparently, ever since Kim got robbed, it was a traumatic experience, and she's unable to continue to produce whatever it is, the hell she produces. The app hasn't been updated. The website doesn't have any more topless pics, I guess. It's a damn shame. And we're going to take a moment of silence on the pod. No, we're not. She stopped doing what she does. I don't know how that's news, but listen, she's got about 10 billion followers, and I've got just you faithful friends who I truly appreciate. I'm not downplaying it, but probably more people care about her than care about me making fun of her. So it just, I would say go to her website, but you really don't have to because it hasn't been updated in the last few weeks. Finally, I'm going to go out with Florida. And only, this is only great because it's Florida. A Florida man was driving on a highway when a large snake suddenly emerged from the hood of his car and slithered toward the window. Tim Makawa, this story honestly sounds like one of the made-up stories that we use on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Listen, Tim was driving along. Suddenly, he was in Tampa. He's driving along, windows down. Suddenly, a 6-foot snake crawls out from under his hood. Tim said he got the windows up just in time, pulled off the highway into a Walmart parking lot. It's not clear what happened to the snake. Tim said he's either still under my hood or in the Walmart grocery on Main Street. Tim, I think snakes under the hood are worse than snakes on a plane. God bless you and good luck, Tim. Listen, there's a lot going on. I could go on and on about the election, about undecided voters, but why? To what end? I thank you guys for listening. Right now, I am up in Vancouver. I'm working at a club called Yuck Yucks. I will tell you this about Canada, particularly Vancouver. It's beautiful this time of year. You may want to come up and look at some real estate. Maybe the election won't go your way, and that could be either one. You could be a Trump supporter that's leaving Hillary, or a Hillary supporter that's leaving President Trump. I don't know, but either way, hopefully I will still have a podcast and a website on the internet unless AT&T heard about me and I pissed them off. Next week, like I said, I'll be at the Tropicana in Las Vegas at the beautiful Laugh Factory. I'll see you then. This is Alonzo Bowden. Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Adam Ray
and Josh Wolf, and we have a new podcast on the Sideshow Network called Good Call. It's a sports show for the casual fan. We aren't talking stats, no spreadsheets or in-depth analysis, nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just fan opinions that will make you laugh and think. So if you want to listen to it, download, rate, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or check us out on the sideshownetwork.tv/goodcall or anywhere you get your podcasts.
I'm not sure how much thinking is being done.
What?
Yeah.